So, want to tell you guys a quick story about when Julie and I were first married, and we had an unexpected house guest during Christmas time that taught us a lesson. So when we were first married, we lived in this small, cramped, one-bedroom apartment just on the edge of downtown Houston. And during Christmas, you know, we would bring in a tree. We lived on the second floor. And I would have to bend and twist the tree to get it into our house so that I could maneuver it through this very narrow staircase that I know was not up to building code. And we brought this tree in, and then we would set it up just far enough so that the front door swing wouldn't knock it over, you know, when it opens. And we didn't have a whole lot of decorations, so we used candy canes to kind of fill in the gaps. And then something strange started to happen. We'd get up in the morning, and our beautiful Christmas tree would be laid down on its side, kind of spread out in the living room. And I would pick it up, clean up the mess, and then a few days later, it would happen again. And so our tree must have fallen 4 or 5 times that year. So one morning I'm up and I hear a little rustling happening within the branches of the tree. So I need to take a closer look. And that's when I see it. A furry creature looking back at me. And in his little rodent claws is half of a candy cane. And in his little rodent mouth is the other half of the candy cane. And so he stops crunching just for a second. You know, we make eye contact. And it's the kind of stare down that happens between sheriffs and outlaws in towns where tumbleweed blows through the streets. And so I look at him and he looks at me. And, you know, he's just as startled to see me as I am to see him. But his little face, it's almost as if he's saying, "Hey, mister, it's Christmas. Show me some hospitality. I'm not looking for any trouble here." But then the look I'm giving back to him is kind of like, "Yeah, it's Christmas. And you're an unwanted house guest. And trouble is my middle name." And so with that, he jumps off of the tree, candy cane still in mouth, scurries off, but he jumps off with just enough force for the Christmas tree to come toppling over one last time right in my direction. So that was our little cozy inner city Christmas. But here's what I want us to think about today, that Christmas is about God stepping into our world. Christmas is about God entering into our home, entering into where we live. And yet, in many ways, when God stepped into our world, he was an unexpected house guest. In many ways, when God stepped into our life, so much of Christianity, so much of talk about religion, many times is trying to figure out how we can get a bunch of people into heaven. But there's something interesting when you read the Bible and when you hear Jesus. It's not so much a story about how to get a bunch of people into heaven, but it's really more a story of about getting a God out of heaven and into our everyday life. And so when God steps in, when he steps into our world, sometimes he comes in as an unexpected guest. And maybe even sometimes an unwanted guest. So I want us to read a scripture together, and I want to invite you to stand with me this morning. And you have the first passage that we'll read together, Luke chapter 2. And so I want to invite us to read aloud together. And so please join in with me as I read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same county shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's sing together.
Captive Israel that mourns the lowly.
case you haven't heard, some Burger King locations will be accepting gifts that you do not want in exchange for Whoppers. True story. So apparently, if you get gifts that you know nobody wants, you can go and trade them for burgers that nobody wants. And I didn't know there was so much Burger King love in the room. So I want to take a couple of minutes, and I want to talk about a serious subject. I want to talk to men for a moment. And I want to talk to you guys about five things not to get your woman this holiday season. Okay? The first one is a scale. If you're thinking about getting your significant other a scale, stop. Like, just leave Bed Bath & Beyond. Get out of there. I'm saving you right now, okay? Another thing guys don't get your woman is a vacuum cleaner, okay? Any kind of cleaning supplies is just, you know, it's not a good thing. Unless it's a Roomba. That's cool. If you want to do a Roomba or maybe a Dyson, you know, the long one with the handle that detaches, you might be able to get away with that. But anything else, no sharks, no dirt devils, like take them back, guys. Okay. Another one item that you shouldn't get your woman is cheap jewelry. Okay. Now let me explain this one. All right. Because cheap jewelry in itself is not bad, but here's where it takes a turn. When you try to disguise the cheap jewelry as expensive jewelry, that's when you're going to go wrong. Like, don't go to the pawn shop, buy a sterling silver deal, put it in a Tiffany box. She knows, guys. She knows. You're not going, you know, don't go get a K-jeweler bag. Don't go walk in there and just say, can I just have a bag? And then go home and then be talking about, like, every kiss begins with K. Like, she's going to know it. All right, so don't do it. Another one, don't do chocolates and a teddy bear, guys. All right. That's Valentine's Day and it's tacky then too. All right. So don't do chocolates and a teddy bear. And then the final one, guys, is, don't get her a Home Depot gift card. Okay. We all know what's going on there. Sure. Now, I know that one's probably a little bit arguable. You know, we can debate on that one. There are some women here that are pretty handy. But I honestly, I'm going to stick to it. I don't think you want to go and browse lumber with your Christmas gift. Okay? So, guys, don't do it. So I'll talk to the ladies, too. All right? And, guys, you can help me out. You can give me some feedback here. Couple of things that you shouldn't get your man, if you're thinking about this, back away. The coupon book of favors. All right? Now we get it, you know, the 20-minute back rub, you know, oh, you don't have to pick up dog poop today, like I'll do it. But that was cute when you were 14. Okay? And we all know we're not going to be able to redeem any of those coupons anyway. So sharper image, anything. Don't get your guy sharper image, anything. Now, it looks cool. You know, they attract you like, oh, I've always wondered. Well, and we'll pretend like we like it. That's the thing. We'll pretend like we love it. This is cool. You know, I've always wanted a glass that floats or something like that. But we don't. So we don't want any sharper image, anything. Anything hand knit, we don't want. Now, we only want that from grandma. Like, that's her thing, so stay in your lane, okay? And then another thing, guys, another thing we really don't want is We don't want any nose hair trimmers. We know we need it, okay? But don't get that for us for Christmas. That's why we're growing a mustache, so that it just all can join and combine, okay? So I hope that helps. You know, just a couple of things. Oh, and boot socks. Don't do boot socks. No guy wants them. When was the last time you heard a guy say, "Hey, babe, I'll be up at the Walmart. I'm going to go take a look at them some boot socks." It doesn't happen. We go to Best Buy. We drive to Best Buy just to look at TVs, but we don't go to look at socks. So anyway, I hope that's helpful. You know, I just want to add value to your life. I want you to come here, and I want you to be blessed. And so I hope that blesses you. So let's talk about good gifts. You know, what are good gifts? Let's put gifts into two different categories. Let's put gifts into the category of luxuries and the category of necessities. So imagine if this gift was for you and it could have anything inside of it that you wanted. What would you choose? What would you want this gift to have inside? Would you want a diamond necklace? Would you want a PS4? Would you want a Roomba? Like, I don't know. But think about the gifts that we see and we hope for and we want. They're usually always luxury items. They're usually never necessities. No one says, "Oh man, I hope that that is a 5-gallon tub of conditioner." Or, you know, "I hope that's a lifetime supply of toothpaste. I hope that is just a bunch of underwear in there. Like, that's what I hope for." We don't really normally want things that are necessities. But we want luxuries. Luxuries are things that we add to our life when we feel like everything is going great. They're extra nice items that we feel that we can enjoy and that they will increase the value of our life. But what if your circumstances changed? Like, what if you were on a deserted island and this box washed up to the shore? What would you want inside of that box then? Would you want a lighter, matches, food? Would you want a cell phone? You know? So based on your circumstances and based on your perspective, sometimes the things that we consider valuable change. So here's a question for you. Is God a luxury or a necessity? When God was preparing the greatest gift of all, did He give us what we wanted or did He give us what we needed? Was anyone even asking for a Savior? And so what this is just a gentle reminder that God is not a luxury. God is a necessity. And God gives us what we need most. And what we need most is a Savior. What we need most is forgiveness for our sins. What we need most is unconditional love. So Jesus was the greatest gift. And God prepared Him for us. I want us to stand together and we're going to do one final scripture reading. And this one is John chapter 3. And I want you to, this time, I want you to find one, two, or three people. I want you to make groups together. And I want you guys to read this passage to each other. So we're going to take about 45 minutes. Really slow reading. 45 seconds. And let's read this passage. So just find a couple of folks, a small group, two people, three people. And then you guys just read this to each other. 45 seconds.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Shining star.
What is your greatest need right now? Is it a spiritual need? Is it emotional? Maybe it's physical. Maybe there's a very real need that you have. A prayer, a hope. I want us to take about 2 minutes today, and as we close out this worship portion and before we invite the kids to come forward, I want us to take about 2 minutes and think about our needs and think about how Jesus has been given, how Jesus came to meet every need, spiritually, physically, emotionally. And then would you just welcome Jesus into that need? Would you say, come, Savior, and rescue me? So let's take about 2 minutes and we'll have some quiet reflection and think about our needs and then say, come, Savior, and rescue me. After me this morning, say, oh, come, Savior, Jesus, my King, and rescue me. Amen. Can we thank God today for His love, for His mercy, for His grace?